Y'all know what time it is. What's up, everybody? This is a special episode of the EG3 show, quote unquote, three wide with EG3. That is me, Eddie Greeter III, here with you guys here this afternoon on this Thursday, getting set for Kansas Speedway, home of the second elimination race of these playoffs. And my, oh my, what an interesting picture taking shape going into this race, set up by Talladega. We're going three wild here with you for the next half hour in a special edition. Of course, I will be at the races here this weekend. I'll be going up tomorrow afternoon after I get off work. And then I have other things to attend to as well, depending on the situation with Martin Truex Jr. and Bass Pro Shops. I wonder if they're doing an graphing session, tomorrow. Last year, I thought they did it on Thursday. I guess they're going to wait either till tomorrow after qualifying or not do it at all. And then what's set on Saturday is I got 10K going on, my first one. First 10K race going on in KC Saturday morning, in which it could be or could not be raining, but I felt like I just got done running in the rain last week when rains came here in the state of Kansas. But a preview here this afternoon. I wanted to bring a special episode and regarding to the EG3 show on JPEG Sports Network, kcsportsradio.com. There is upcoming news announcement about that as well, including myself included in that. That's going to be coming up towards the end of the year with the championship stuff going on. So that announcement will be made around then. But yes, Talladega set it all up. The Cup Series race last weekend there. Brad Keselowski, Mr. Alabama, the governor of Alabama. And I did record the original podcast this week and listen to that as well this weekend as you prepare for Kansas. And Kansas used to be the second race of these playoffs. And at one point, it was the first playoff race in this section of the postseason, which kind of set the table for the rest of the playoffs. And then, of course, the last 2 years, it's been in the middle where we've seen some crazy twists and turns happen at this very race. And most likely, this could be the most interesting turn yet going in here, as we have a couple big name drivers here around the cut line here. And we could be very little be talking about a couple of names being out of the postseason, that including the 18 or the 48. But let's go to turn one, shall we, folks, on the three wide with EG3 preview of Kansas. On the back up to Talladega for just a few moments. What a crazy race this was with all that went on. And of course, the stage racing, I mentioned it in the original podcast going back to last week. I told you, well, obviously everyone knows now that stage racing is going to play a huge havoc in the race. And obviously it kind of crosses over into this weekend's event where we're going to definitely see that as well. Crucial playoff points could be on the line here. Well, it is on the line for these guys who are around the cut line, but we've seen some surprises as well. So let's not rule that out. Even with those guys surrounding the dangerous cut line zone, you got Larson, Hamlin up there right now and in a good position to move on, and a couple other drivers as well. Harvick, Chase Elliott as well. And then you got the guys that are already in, don't have to worry about it. Brad Keselowski felt the world. The gorilla was off his shoulders getting that win. And they've been kind of been focusing on just winning a race and getting the job done. And they have their eyes set on Martinsville here next week for the round of 8. Other than, in my opinion, the round of 12 with Talladega in this mix, I think the round of eight is going to get even tougher because the competition is going to be cut to a half. After this race is over, we're going to see eight drivers move on to the next round. Two already punched their ticket to the next round. That in the 78 and the 2 car. The 78, folks, Martin Truex Jr. in the 2 car of Keselowski. And six spots still remain up for grabs here on Sunday in Talladega with McMurtry with the, I think the key coming out of this was the miscommunication going on pit road. Saw McMurtry, and he heck was coming off a top five finish at Charlotte in the opening round of the round of 12. Very optimistic. I mean, he was probably one of my dark horses going into this round. And what happens? He and the 77 of Eric Jones, miscommunication on that end. And McMurtry suffered some huge damage and took a big hit there. And that was the end of his afternoon. So something like that, you don't even get through stage one in a playoff contender, is eliminated. That could be huge. And 29, that is way less than 29 points where Kyle Larson is sitting right now, the leading driver without a win this year, in the postseason actually, going in. He's good, but he's not safe, if you know what I mean. So again, a lot can happen there, and then a wreck in the back of the field. There's been a lot of talks about how Clint Bowyer reacted, and he called out his crew chief right there on pit road following his accident in the back of the field. My goodness. So you're not safe in the front, obviously. We saw that. You're not safe in the middle. We saw that. And you're not safe in the back. We saw that. So we saw pretty much everything that happened at Talladega last Sunday afternoon, and we only had 14 cars left at the finish line. That was the least amount of cars ever in a race since 1986. Are you kidding me? Man, that stat just blew me away with that stat. But obviously, the big one happened there. Truex ignited that fire with David Ragan, and pretty much all the playoff contenders were involved, probably except Keselowski escaped a lot of those. Denny Hamlin as well. He was in the middle of that hurricane mess and somehow got away with it. Dale Earnhardt Jr. had too many lives to spare in that race. Obviously, his last race at Talladega finished in the top 10. But he, too, escaped a ton of wrecks. Pretty much everything last Sunday to come home with that 7th place finish. But yeah, pretty much Keselowski, Hamlin escaped, while the 10 other drivers did not. And that included Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Ryan Blaney, who won stage 2, who was going to be a contender in this race, did not survive the other wreck that happened after the big one. He and a couple other drivers, and then Chase Elliott, we keep talking about him on the original podcast. He has been coming up huge in this postseason so far. He is in position to transfer in to the round of eight if he can have a good day and possibly maybe get his first win of his career. It could not come at a better time if he can pull that off. But for now, he is in the safe zone right now. Chase Elliott is. But man, Jimmy Johnson was involved in this as well. I mentioned Kyle Busch as well. And coming into Kansas, and this is leading into turn two. We're going three wide into turn two now. This leads into my cutoff points now. The drivers who were around that cutoff included Kyle Busch, the first driver out right now. 7 out. Woo! Man, Kyle Busch all year long, and people have said, a lot of folks said he's a lock to get to Homestead. I did not have him in my final four when it was all said and done. But and then you have his teammate Matt Kenseth next in line, 8 points out. So those two, and then you had go up to the second two, and this was talked about a lot on the original podcast. Check that out. this weekend, tonight, or whenever you have a chance to listen to, right here on Audioboom, that, or jpegsports.com, one of those websites, kcsportsradio.com, the live stream for that, as of every week. But Kyle Busch, I mean, these three drivers, Truex, Kyle Larson, and Kyle Busch, were pretty much automatic locks to be in this mix. But now, interesting thought, Kyle Busch, until maybe last year, I'd probably go back to last May when he overcome his demons to win the race, the night race at Kansas, that he knows how to get around this place. He had a lot of issues with this racetrack, and if one of those issues comes back to bite him in the butt on Sunday, he could be going home. Not home, but you know what I'm saying. He could be going home with not an opportunity to race for his second championship of his career. That is big. So that could be in one of the stories going in, is watching the 18 car. And is this thing's going to start tomorrow with qualifying. Obviously, you got to start off right with qualifying, getting the right pit selection, and then go from there. So key in on him and Matt Kenseth. I've seen Matt Kenseth lead, including last year, at this race, but yet couldn't finish it off last year because Kevin Harvick hit the home run to get in to the next round, and Harvick's a complete threat here, the way he has performed on these mile and a half tracks in the postseason, notably Chicagoland, and you go back to Charlotte a couple weeks ago where he had, no most doubt, the dominant car, and it goes back a year or two back again with the four car Harvick. Sorry to kind of go off course for a second, but Harvick, he had a plan going into these playoffs and seemed to be executing very well. Obviously, when you take out Talladega, he's executed very well, and he could very well be in a position to hit the go-ahead home run again to move on into the round of eight. But Matt Kenseth, folks, we're talking about Matt Kenseth, no victories, and on top of that, still has not gotten that elusive victory. Victory, and doesn't have a ride. And we have five races left here in the year 2017 before we decide a repeat champion or a new champion in this year. So Matt Kenseth, a win, could come at a better time as well. And obviously Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Jamie McMurray, those guys are going to need the ultimate Hail Mary if they're going to move on to the next round. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., as I mentioned in the original podcast, that if he did not win Talladega, that he was going to go home. So, again, they're not literally going home. They're going to be, basically what I'm saying is they're eliminated from the championship. And basically Stenhouse, McMurray, unfortunately for those guys, I think they're going to be done. But it's going to come down really to the 20, the 18, and then we go up further to the cut line. Above it, Jimmy Johnson. Again, we go back to your first elimination race at Dover. Who do you saw with the battle? Ryan Newman, and who else? And Ryan Newman was battling at, and man, this is going to bother me. I can't think of the name right now. He's in the playoffs. I think it was Stenhouse. Yes, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. He and Newman were battling at right down to the final laps at the Monster Mile, and one big stage changed it all. Go back to that first stage a few weeks ago at Dover, where Stenhouse and the crew chief decided to stay out longer, and then Jeffrey Earnhardt, spun out, hit the yellow buckets to bring out the red flag. That really changed the game and left Newman out in the cold and frustrated, and we could very well see something, well, hopefully not what Jeffrey Earnhardt did, but something maybe similar to that strategy, big gambles. It could will you into the next round, or could break you, cost you an opportunity to advance. But Jimmy Johnson, we're talking about the seven-time champ, and obviously the defending champion of the sport in the Cup Series, his back is against the wall here going into this weekend. And above him, 2 points ahead of him, is Ryan Blaney still in the game. Even though he was able to finish Talladega. But remember, Ryan Blaney was in a battle with Truex going back to May in May's Kansas race there, which Truex finally broke through at Kansas. That was amazing to see. But Ryan Blaney, he was in the mix there for sure, and he is not safe either. So these four guys, and then if something crazy were to happen to the other front runners, Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick, Hamlin, Larson, then they were really going to have a shakeup here in this points battle. So looking at it, Kansas, one of the reasons that I'm so pumped up, because I know what's going into this weekend. Let's just face it. I know what's going on, but I think, yes, Nextel or Sprint Vision will keep me apprised of what's going on. Obviously, I will not be on Twitter that much, because I'm going to be paying attention to the race and what's going on. Yes, I like to be involved with the race, obviously. There's that explanation. But you're listening to 3 Wild with EG, 3 special episode this week on KCSportsRadio.com. We are also on Audioboom. But yes, a lot going on beginning tomorrow. All the storylines. And then obviously, we don't know the storylines yet coming out. Obviously, we have to let the race play itself out. And it's going to be interesting to see who survives. You know, the question that I asked in the original podcast, who would you rather driver to transfer into the next round? The fact that Kyle Busch and his 18 team has been so consistently fast this year, but consistently step on their own toes, or this 48 team who's been pretty much sleep underground, the Mr. Groundhog this year, with not seeing the consistent performances that we've been seeing from the 48. I didn't have the 48 advancing to the next round anyway. So, man, it's a hard decision. I mean, the 48 with the championship experience and moving through the rounds, and then you have the 18 as a factor everywhere as well. But yet, when it comes down to execution, that's the part that they're still, in my opinion, not very good at. So, when you look at those guys together, obviously, Ryan Blaney looking to continue that run. He and Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, who hasn't really made much noise in his playoffs. Well, it's better. This might be a time for him to start showing up. I mean, he's had some good runs so far in the playoffs, but hasn't won yet. Busch, even though he's outside the bubble, and Truex have won a couple of races in the playoffs. Kyle Larson has not. So this could be the time where round of 8 is going to be really difficult. This is the time now for Kyle Larson to possibly get some more stage points here. Or actually, not stage points, but playoff points, winning a stage or even winning the race here before going to his next round. We know the 78 setting the standard right now, and we don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. It could all be crashing down on somebody here, but I do know this, but we don't know which driver it is yet, other than the fact that Stenhouse and McMurray, via gambling for a victory, for a miracle, won't advance. But we could be talking about one or two big name drivers going home and not running for a championship after the checkered flag falls and a lap 267 or in OT. And we're in the last turn of the day here. 3 wide, turn 3. This is Atlanta Falcons topic here. And so, 3-2, obviously. A lot of frustrations with the fan base right now. And I said to somebody about after another collapse against the Dolphins, which I thought, this shouldn't be a loss. I mean, I understand about maybe Buffalo, we had a lead there, but it was not big as we had on Miami. And with the AFC East struggles continue, so going back to the Super Bowl, that awful collapse, that horrible collapse, or whatever you want to call it, three consecutive losses to the AFC East, and we got the Patriots again on Sunday Night Football. But hey, I've been pretty negative here this week, saying that pretty much we're going to fold a towel and lose to these teams. But when you look at it statistically, you know, Patriots have lost basically both their games at home, and it may be a good thing for the Falcons to be on the road. And why I say it's full circle, because this team, with all the, everyone saying it has the most talented team in the NFC. Guarded that Aaron Rodgers got hurt last week. Unfortunately, another big star in the NFL being out for the season. He joins Odell Beckham, J.J. Watt, and I think another guy was out for the year as well. Brandon Marshall's out for the year for New York Giants, and Giants somehow beat the Broncos. So, and they were 0-5 going in that race. Not the race, the game. Excuse me. So, you know, if the Giants can go in and they faced a tougher defense in the Broncos than the Patriots this year, in my opinion, the Patriots have been shedded this year. And if we, I mean, yes, this is probably, in my opinion, the biggest game to this point for this Falcons team. Going that they have all the talent in the world. I mean, yes, we had injuries on that side with Sanu out, Julio, Schrader. But Schrader got back last week. And then this team, I mean, yes, the play calling, I think, has not been good. I mean, Steve Sarkisian, this is not Alabama, Christian Tide running the football. I mean, we have the best, one of the best running back tandems in National Football League with Devontae and Tevin, T. Cole. But the lights got to turn on at some point. Yes, I read an article just earlier today about the players have to adjust. Yes, I get that. But also, I believe the coach have to adjust too. At least a little bit. You have all this talent on the field. And the bigger question is, when is Julio Jones going to get in the end zone? I have no idea. This is going to be more bigger story if Julio can't get into the end zone. I mean, Steve's mentioned in the offseason that, you know, we're going to focus on getting more targets to Julio. Did he not say that? He said that a bunch in the offseason, and I haven't seen a damn thing yet with that. And this is the biggest stage, and everybody, I think, has the Patriots on lock to win this football game. But if the Falcons can play 60 minutes of ball, this is what they didn't do in the Super Bowl, obviously, and this is what they didn't do definitely last week, and lose to a sorry offense in the Miami Dolphins, letting Jay Cutler, Landry do whatever they want to do, J.H.I. run all over the place. The talent is obviously there. Question is, can they play 60 full minutes, capitalize, all caps, full minutes on the road, especially in a tough place like New England, where they really lost until the Chiefs come up in there and put it on them. And then the Carolina Panthers with Cam Newton rose the occasion up there as well. So as much as it's been down going into this week with whatever you want to call it, the Super Bowl collapse or whatever you want to say, the original, you know, if this team can go in there and have a different mindset and go in there and not take the foot off gas, that should have been easily Miami at least 31-7 or 31-0, something like that. I just don't understand. In the long drives on defense, I know I'm going on a play, sorry. But the defense, they played well. But in the second half of these games, they're on the field too long. Especially Buffalo setting the tone, especially toward the end of the third quarter. They had an 8-minute drive for a touch that ended up in a field goal. And then Miami, the same thing. Third quarter, come out with an 8-9 minute drive, and your offense can't do diddly squat after that. So, I mean, it's there. I mean, it's there to go up there and take down Tom Brady. It's a daunting task. I think they got the players to do it. They need to, once they get up front, they need to not relax. Because when they relax, there, that's when it all goes to hell and things start not happening right. So that's the problem. I think the overall problem, really. I mean, the second problem closest to that is Julio not getting enough touches. And we need to start seeing that. If the Falcons are going to get back on track and try to get back into the playoffs. But all in all, I would love to see the Falcons win on a row. It will be a huge turnaround, I think. If we can pull this off Sunday night with pretty much everybody watching. Well, because it's primetime Sunday night. Then we have the opportunity to really turn this season around and get back on the right track. So this, I mean, you can downplay it all you want. You know, it is one game. Yes, I understand that. But this one game is kind of a big game. So hopefully we see a better effort, a 60-minute effort, and go up there and take down Atlantic and take down New England. Okay, folks, a few minutes here on the special here. I know I threw some football in there. But turn our attention to the checkered flag, to Kansas. Yes, again, making the trip up there tomorrow. If anything that we saw in the postseason so far, I expect to see the same players in this mix, including the 18, the 4, the 24, the 7, 8 big players as well. We could see the 21 up there as well. He's been pretty good in the daytime, too, in these races. And let's not forget about Matt Kenseth. He seems to be the forgotten man in all this. And what a story if Matt Kenseth can shake it up and win this race. Again, it goes back, comes back around to the point of stage points. And look for that big turnaround. Because we saw it at Dover. Somebody is going to screw it up. And it could cost them dearly. So that's what I'm going to be looking for. And the other thing, the 2000 lap watch. That's what I'm going to be looking at, obviously, with my driver, Martin Truex Jr. He needs only 23 more laps to put himself in that plateau. If he can do that either this week or in the upcoming weeks to come, he will join, I believe, 11 more 11 drivers who eclipse this. Really, yes. Really, a couple of drivers have did this multiple years, but 11 drivers have eclipsed the 2,000 leading lap marker, including Kevin Harvick, who's been a factor in his mile and a half. So those drivers I mentioned, they are going to be right there, I believe, in this mix, and I would not be surprised to see. And let's throw in the 42 in there as well. He's been a factor on his mile and a half. He was quiet in Chicagoland, though, but he was a big factor in Charlotte, but pit crew screwed that up for him. So again, mistakes, and it's going to come down, lastly, ladies and gentlemen, to mistakes. The teams that don't make the most mistakes will transfer on to the next round. And as much as I want to see Martin Truex Jr. sweep Kansas, the race at Kansas this year, it might not happen, but I'm looking for a good run to set up the round of 8 for him. He's already locked in, but if a driver to pick outside of him, I gotta go with the man who hit the home run last year, Harvick, Kevin Harvick. I think will have an opportunity to win this race and assert himself to the round of 8. They've looked good, and won't be surprised to see him back in victory lane. And oh, by the way, Harvick, Kevin Harvick, the defending race winner, looking to go back to back Hollywood Casino 400 Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. NBC has it, I believe, or NBCSN. Check the website for times for that. But Central Time right here, green flag after 2 o'clock. Can't wait to get to the track, folks. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap for 3 Wild with EG3 Kansas preview show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. I'm Eddie Greer saying thanks for listening to today's special episode. And I'll be back next week, obviously, on the original podcast to break it all down. It's, folks, it is getting closer and closer to Miami. And obviously, the Xfinity Series will start their round of 8 this weekend on Saturday at Kansas as well. So much going on. Football, racing, Hollywood Casino 400, Kansas Speedway, we coming for you. This has been 3Y with EG3, KC Sports Radio.com. We'll talk to you soon. We out.